Good afternoon. It is just coming up to 25 to 6. And with us on the line now is our very own Mary Harbo. She's back on the airwaves with us talking about her book Gucci Wars, Jenny Gucci's Story, which has been updated and re-released to coincide with the House of Gucci film, which is coming out in the next few days, I think. It's got an all-star cast, Lady Gaga, Al Pacino, Jeremy Irons. Really looking forward to that. And it's a huge honour to be chatting to Mary. How are you, Mary?
It feels very strange. I'm very well, thank you. But strange, but very lovely. It's,
yes.
It's lovely to hear your voice.
Oh, and yours, and yours. We've missed you here. We were just talking off air. It's been a couple of years since you were in Spain.
I know. Like everybody else, we got very much caught up in the pandemic and the travel restrictions. And yeah, sadly, it's been a long time. So when I'm back on the first week of January, it will be exactly 2 years since I was last there.
Wow. Yeah. Well, it'll be lovely to see you again. You're going to come in and see us.
Oh, that would be great. I'd love that.
So Gucci Wars, Jenny Gucci's Story. I remember when this all first started, when you met Jenny, which I had the pleasure of meeting her as well, and how the book came about. Just tell the listeners, if they don't know, the beginnings of this story.
Yeah, well, the beginnings of the story were at a charity event, I think it was. Well, I know it was. I was just trying to remember where it was. And I believe it was at the Puente Romano, but that's not really important. And you know what it's like when you're on the radio and everybody says, oh, you should meet so-and-so. They would make a great guest, or they're so interesting. And somebody said, you should meet Jenny Gucci. And I thought, yeah, like everybody does. When you hear her surname, you think, yeah, wow, you know, this is the same Gucci as the Gucci Guccis. And anyway, of course, it was and it is. And over a sort of couple of conversations, Jenny and I got sort of chatting about her life. And although everybody says, you know, they've got a story to tell, some of those stories are more interesting than others. And Jenny's was absolutely amazing, you know, gripping in every sense of the word. And then after we'd had these conversations, it was really rather strange because I think, you know, Wensley Clarkson? Do you know Wensley Clarkson?
Yes, yes.
That name rings a bell. He's a very prolific writer with strong links to Spain. Anyway, we were talking and he asked me whether I knew of anybody who had a good story to tell that would perhaps make a book for his publishers, John Blake. And the rest, as they say, is history, because that's what happened. And 2008, Gucci Wars came out originally, and it just sort of kind of sat there for a while. It did very well insofar as reviews were concerned. We were the Daily Mail Book of the Week. We got terrific reviews. Somehow, it didn't ever sort of go mega, mega big. And it just kind of sat there, went to paperback, went into several other languages, Polish and German, and I believe Swedish, but I'm not 100% certain about the Swedish. And I sort of just moved on with other projects and Jenny moved on with her life. And that was about it, really, until earlier this year. It was actually very early February when we were all sort of sitting in lockdown and feeling a bit sort of what the future had in store. And I realized then that, and Jenny at the same time, that Ridley Scott was making a film that he had thought about making for a very long time. I mean, really going back to the time that we wrote our book. And I know that he had read our book and had considered it as being the main sort of theme of the film that he was planning. Anyway, in the end, of course, he wanted to go more towards the murder part of the story and get him more involved with that, because it was obviously much more interesting side of things perhaps to tell. And he decided to go with the book, another book, which was the only other book of the period, which tells the same story of the Gucci family, but from a different perspective. And that's The House of Gucci. And that's the name of the film. And that is the book that the film is based on, not our book. However, our book tells exactly the same events, but from a different perspective, in Jenny's.
Yes. Wow. How exciting, though. I mean, I hope and assume that this has been good for you both and the book.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the film was the reason for updating the book. I'll be quite honest, it's just timing and hearing about the film and realizing also something pretty fundamental. And anybody who has read the original Gucci Wars will know that it ends in 2007 when Jenny was living in Marbella and things were, not over by a long sort of distance, and there were many more things to happen in her life. So we thought, well, let's update it. So I got back in touch with Jenny, and we set about getting the rights back for the book, which was not so easy because publishers have been taken over by other publishers, and it was not exactly straightforward. But anyway, we got there in the end, and we decided together to update it and make it a completely sort of, well, I don't want to say completely different, because obviously the bulk of the story is the same, but to maybe angle a little bit more towards her meetings with Patrizia Reggiani, which is, of course, the character played by Lady Gaga in the film, the one who is now known as the Black Widow, the one who committed the murder, and also, of course, to finish the story. And don't sort of spoiler alert, as it were, there was a lot more to happen to Jenny so far as leaving Marbella and why and how she had to, and her life now.
So for people who don't know the story and who haven't read the book yet, without giving too much away, just explain a little bit about who Jenny Gucci is and who she was married to.
Absolutely. Just to say, it reads like fiction. I mean, you could not make this up, the story and all of the twists and the turns of it. But to say, honestly, at this stage, every single word of the book is true. It absolutely is to the letter the truth. I can't say the same about the film because I haven't seen it yet, only the trailers, but certainly the book is absolutely true. Mm. So Jenny was married to Paolo. And Paolo was the son of he's the son of Aldo, Aldo Gucci, who in the film is played by Al Pacino, and he is the grandson of Guccio Gucci, who is the man who actually set up the whole of the Gucci family business. Mm-hmm. He was also the first one of his generation who sold out. So actually sort of walked away from the family business and sold to the sort of huge investors they did. And Maurizio, who is the man who was murdered by his wife, the character who's played by Adam Driver in the film, he was Paolo's first cousin. They were cousins.
Okay. And the character the person Jenny Gucci is actually represented in the film, isn't she?
Absolutely, yes, she is. Really rather beautifully so by an actress called Florence Andrews. Gosh, her name went for a moment there. Florence Andrews, I beg your pardon, Florence. She physically looks incredibly like Jenny. In the photographs of the time. She's a West End actress. She's been in several West End shows. Jenny, of course, was a singer, and that's how she met Paolo in the first place. She'd gone to Florence to study opera and was singing in some restaurant one evening, and like a fairy tale, he was there, he saw her, he fell in love with her. And so that was how they met. So the music side of things is really rather lovely, although I don't think that Florence is actually singing in the film, but she does have the ability to sing, which is I know Jenny finds that really, really very, very pleasing.
Yeah.
And yes, I'm sure an up-and-coming actress who we'll probably hear a great deal more about over the years, yeah.
So how does Jenny feel about the film?
Ambivalent, I think, is probably the word I would say. To put it in sort of a degree of context here, if I may, I hope I'm not talking too much. Am I talking too much?
No, not at all. It's perfect.
To put it into a sort of a context Jenny has said now that she's not doing any publicity at all for the book. She does chooses not to. Mm-hmm. At the moment that we're speaking, she's literally just gone to New York to meet her first grandchild. Because of course, like everybody else, she wasn't able to travel. So this is, you know, a huge excitement. And the main purpose of her life at the moment, obviously. And her daughter, her and Paolo's daughter, is Gemma Gucci. And Gemma, of course, is her daughter and the mother of her grandchild. So, yeah, Gemma is not very keen on the film at all and the idea of her family being in the public eye like this and perhaps portrayed in a way that isn't too flattering. It's a little bit difficult for her. So far as Jenny was concerned, I got an email, this was some months ago when they were filming in Rome, from Jared Leto's office. And wow. Jared, yeah, I know, you don't expect it to ping into your inbox, do you? As you do. This gorgeous man. So he had decided that, he's an amazing actor, but unrecognizable as Paolo. They've made him a little paunch, which actually Paolo didn't have, I have to say, so it's a little bit unfair that. But he's bald. He's and all his beautiful hair is away from his face. Gosh. And I don't think anybody would recognize him at all. In fact, I know that they haven't. Even other members of the cast couldn't believe the transformation. Funny. But he's obviously an actor who goes over and beyond normal sort of routes of preparing for a role. And he had decided he wanted to meet Jenny. And Jenny, actually, I was thinking about this the other day. She is the only person, apart from Patrizia Reggiani, who is the Black Widow, the murderess, if you will, who is alive of that generation, who lived through this experience,
right,
and to actually tell the story. So, you know, it's only Jenny who would be watching the film who would know whether Paolo did walk like that, or did move his hands like that, or did use those expressions. So really, I think pretty remarkable that Jared wanted to talk to her, wanted to meet her, and wanted to find out about Paolo through her, which was amazing. So I put them together, and they had a lovely conversation over Zoom for about an hour. I think they chatted away. And I think she was then very, very happy. And the reason that she did the interview with Jared Leto was because she wanted to make sure that that Paolo was going to be credited for, despite his bizarre behaviour, for being one of the greatest fashion designers of all time, and that he deserved that credit to be sort of associated with. Yeah. Mm.
Oh, lovely. Amazing, amazing thing, isn't it? How it's all kind of done full circle and taken off like this. And from when you wrote the book back in 2007 to now what's happening. And just amazing. The idea that Jenny's been chatting with Jared Leto, and it's just so funny, isn't it? How it's all happened.
I know. It's wonderful. And it is strange. The sort of the bizarre statements that people have come out with, that I was thinking of Patrizia particularly. Well, there were three Patrizias in the Gucci family, which makes things a little bit complicated. But the Black Widow, for instance, the comments that she's made, and the comments that she's made about the film, and the comments that she's made since she was released from prison, quite bizarre.
Yes. So you, I understand, are working on a novel, is that right?
Well, I was working on a novel before, you know, as everybody did during lockdown. It was that or making sourdough bread. And I thought, no, it's the novel. As you do.
So how are you getting on with it?
Well, I was getting on very well with it. And it was really taking shape. And I had it really very much in my mind. But I put the whole thing to one side to concentrate. I'm not somebody who can work very easily on more than one thing at a time. So I put it all to one side to concentrate on getting Gucci Wars, Jenny Gucci's story back out there, and making the right changes and finding the right publisher and the photographs and all the other details that that you need to do.
Mm. And you've also been working as a celebrant, haven't you? Tell us about that.
Yes, well, I wasn't quite ready to retire. And, you know, when you reach a certain age and you begin to look at the things that you can do quite well and the things that you don't like doing very well, and trying to find a sort of niche in the middle of all of that. And like so many things in life, sometimes it just sort of falls into your lap, as it were. And I was on a train actually going to London, and I was reading an article in a magazine about a woman who was a celebrant in France. And I got off the train and I reached Liverpool Street, and I remember just saying, yeah, and now I know what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. So, yeah, I retrained as a celebrant, funerals and weddings and vow renewals and baby namings. And so I interview people, I write ceremonies for them, and I then officiate at the ceremonies.
Oh, wonderful. I bet that's a really, well, the funerals not so much perhaps, but a wonderful thing to do.
It is a wonderful thing to do. Well, you know, you got married, you had a celebrant for your wedding, I think, what, didn't you?
Yes, yes.
And it's an honour. It's an honour and a privilege, mm-hmm. without wanting to sound too cliched, to be able to be part of such important life-changing events for people. Yeah. Actually, on the 9th of December, I feel very honoured. I've been asked to do an annual remembrance service at a natural burial ground here in Norfolk, which is in Bluebell Woods, with a beautiful sort of hall in the middle, and place where many people are laid to rest now. And it's a lovely place in the middle of nature, if you will. And I'm officiating at their annual remembrance service too. So that's coming up on the 9th.
Oh, fabulous. Fantastic. Yeah. Well, Mary, yeah. It's been a huge, huge honour to chat with you. So often over the years, I speak to someone and somebody will say, oh, how's Mary Harbo doing? What happened to Mary Harbo? And we miss Mary Harbo. And so you're very much loved and thought of here. So it's great to be chatting with you. And I've learned so much from you when I worked with you for years. So I think of you often. You. And I've never forgotten when I hadn't been here very long. And I said to you, how do you know what to say to people? What if you're speaking to someone and they just stop talking? How do you know how to come up with the next question? And I just thought, my goodness, how does she do it? And I never forgot, you said, Hannah, the key to being a good interviewer is to be a good listener. And I've never forgotten that. And it's so true, isn't it?
Well, you obviously remember that because you do a splendid job. It's so true though, isn't it?
Yes, yes, definitely. It's not about thinking of the questions. If you're just having a natural chat with someone, you're listening to what they're saying, and then you automatically think of something to say back.
Exactly. It's a conversation that other people are listening to.
Yeah.
But don't you notice now, sometimes, are you very critical? Do you see how sometimes people don't get it right?
Yes. Even myself sometimes, but yes. Yes, definitely.
But at least you can recognise it.
Yes, very much so. Very much so. Well, Mary, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to chat with you. And if listeners don't already have a copy of Gucci Wars, then they must get one. It's available on our website, tre.radio, by Mary Harbo. Mary, thank you.
Thank you, Hannah. It was lovely to talk to you.